Hello, I'm Beth Kesselman, and this is Smashing the Ceiling, a podcast on social hiring and a St. Stephen's Community House production. Thanks for joining us. St. Stephen's Community House acknowledges that our locations are situated upon traditional territories of the Wendat, Anishinaabeg Nation, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nations, and the Métis Nation. The treaty that was signed for this particular parcel of land is collectively referred to as the Toronto Purchase and applies to lands east of Brown's Line to Woodbine Avenue and north towards Newmarket. St. Stephen's Community House is a guest, and we recognize the enduring presence of the Indigenous peoples on this land. Welcome back to another episode of Smash the Ceiling, a podcast on social hiring. Before we begin, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle for both is at PeerPathwaysTO. On this episode, I'm so pleased that Lambrina Nicolau and Patricia Elkerton from West Neighborhood House were able to join us for a discussion on peer work. As an organization which values peer work and is dedicated to promoting and advocating for it, St. Stephen's always appreciates meeting and building partnerships with other organizations who hold those same values. And so we're so happy that West was able to both partner with us and join us in discussing peer work, its value, and the possibility it has in an organization. I hope you enjoy our conversation as much as I did. First thing I'm going to say is thank you. Thank you so much for meeting with me. I'm really excited to meet with you both. I've heard nothing but wonderful things about your organization. West is well known throughout Toronto, and it's a real pleasure, especially when my work life is very brined in peer roles. It's really nice to meet with people who also share those values and have incorporated those values into your organization. And so I appreciate that. And I was wondering if you'd like to introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Lambrina Nicolau. I'm a program director at West Neighborhood House, and it's a pleasure to meet with Beth today.
Hi, I'm Patricia Elkerton, and I'm the coordinator of the drop-in and community engagement lead here at West Neighborhood House. And yes, thank you for having us part of this today.
So the first thing I'm going to ask you is more generally about peer work as a whole. I've noticed over the long while, mm-hmm. that peer work has sort of come to the forefront of community, social, and medical services. It was mentioned with the Mental Health Commission of Canada in their recent reports, as well as it's regularly in news articles and research. And my first question is, why has peer leadership and peer role sort of come forward as come to the forefront of these conversations lately?
Well, I think that people realize just how valuable people's life experiences are, mm. and how people's experiences, very diverse experiences, especially I think around mental health and addictions, can really inform how we interact with community, how we work with our community members, our planning, even potentially the kind of funding that we might apply to in order to fund important positions like peer-led position. So I think people's experience is important, and their insight and their the genuineness that they would come to a position because of what they've lived, what they've experienced, and how they've worked through things in their life that they could share and empower other people to do, mm-hmm. Similar pieces of work on their life.
I think the only thing I would add to that, I agree completely, is the adding is not only to other community members, but to the staff as well. So much that we can learn from and working together with peer workers. And it sort of helps to speak into then how we continue to do the work that we do.
So you mentioned it's important to staff and informative to your work. Can you tell me a little bit about your organization and why peer work became important to you and the benefits you've seen in your organization?
I think an opportunity to see and think about things differently. Mm-hmm. A long time ago, we adopted a program called Community Parenting Outreach Program, and the positions sat in our settlement services, but they were actually women with lived experience who used settlement services themselves that are and were moms in the community and accompanying other parents to services and supports in the community as they became new members of a neighborhood, mm-hmm. and accessing supports and services that maybe they wouldn't know being newcomers to a new country, to a new city, and to a new neighborhood. So that was very valuable because the lived experience that people brought and the knowledge of a community and a neighborhood that they evolved to know, they supported other parents in the same experience. And more recently, at the meeting place, we have pursued funding that's allowed us to hire positions specifically with our with the LHINs, the Local Health Integration Network. And I guess about 7 years ago, we went into a partnership, important partnership with PARC, Sistering and West Neighborhood House, in hiring 7 peers to do accompaniment to medical appointments, health appointments, legal appointments, in supporting people in transitioning from care into community and vice versa.
I don't think I could speak into sort of the history and what brought it here, but I think the importance of the work we have here is, I think it's great for other community members to feel supported by fellow community members as well. It's not just about other full-time staff. So I think that just really further makes our programs even more valuable.
Absolutely. And you've seen, you were talking about the experiences that the participants in the programming were having. And did you see data to reflect that as well? Not just, like, I mean, not that there's not value in anecdotal evidence, because that's what I live on, right? It's hearing how the impact of this experience has affected one individual's life, and that's, you know, so important.
Yeah, I would say in terms of data with the Community Access Program partnership with PARC and Sistering in the last 7 years, is we've got the number of unique individuals who've been served and the number of contacts that we've had on an annual basis. And the peers have not only provided the service and supports and accompaniment, but they've also kept track and tracked the unique individuals that they've supported and the number of contacts. So the data is fantastic. And we meet and often exceed our targets each year.
So this is worth doing.
Absolutely. It is, absolutely. And I think within the system, other LHIN-funded organizations and health institutions say what a valuable program that it is and service. And also the comfort level that it brings people who are accompanied by people with lived experience that can understand where people are at, what they're experiencing, what some of their needs and supports might be when they're integrating into a community where that they don't have housing and where they're struggling with mental health, with withdrawal, and in treatment.
How do you see peer workers functioning in your organization in the future? Do you have a dream? A peer dream.
Yeah. So, you know, in addition to our community support workers that are in the meeting place, our homeless drop-in and our Parkdale meeting place, so we have peers that work in our eviction prevention program. So they're going out and supporting community members, restoring order in their units, their apartments, and hopefully, you know, not getting evicted.
Yeah.
And also trying to model some skills and strategies for maintaining their apartments and their housing. We also have peers that operate our storefront and that facilitate workshops, creative arts and craft workshops, teaching skills that they have so that members of the meeting place can sell arts and facts in our store and draw an income from that. So the peers have been used for a lot of doing and engaging with community, but I think having peers involved in more program planning and planning specific to community development, and also involved in some of the problem solving that's related to practices and policies that we might put in place so that those practices and policies are also informed not only by the core staff team, but also by the peer staff that are integrated into that core staff team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that allows the peers, whether ones that are currently employed now or other ones that might come in, get some really thinking about skill sets they have that we may not even know about, or skill sets that they want to even strengthen more. So it isn't just to a specific role here, but it really opens up their horizons as well. because so many of them have their peers, they've come through, they've accessed services, they've had struggles in their life, and this is this great opportunity for them to now to become more financially independent, to be the people that they were created to be, to do the things that they might be passionate about, and to encourage others, right? And not just in very specific roles that we have for them, but, you know, some of the peer staff who have skill sets that could be used somewhere else. We talk so much in employment programs about transferable skills, and they too have as many transferable skills. And what can that do? It might even at some point broaden our programming. We may be able to offer something we don't even offer now because there's a peer staff who actually has that skill and that interest.
Yeah, absolutely. And the peers do come with a different lens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking back now, one peer at Sistering who is now a coordinator and a supervisor of the drop-in. So started the program, you know, doing peer accompaniment and is now in a leadership role. So I would like to see the peers more and more take on leadership roles.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you see this vision for peer work and roles sort of expand over the organization, a lot of organizations who would like to incorporate peers into their structure, their organizational mm-hmm. structure, are unionized. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice on working with your local or your union when creating sort of these community-based opportunities?
Sure. I think, first of all, there is funding that's available to create peer positions. Our mm-hmm. city eviction prevention funded program is funded by the city, and we created those positions specifically for that funding and that program. There is core funding, and when you have your core operating funding, you look at what are the resources, positions that you need to operate a program and to be able to carve out those important peer positions. We started with contracts, and once people have been in the position 12 months, 18 months, and then they become a permanent position, those employees become members of the union as well because they become unionized, permanent unionized positions. So I think having open dialogue and communication with your management union committee and keeping that dialogue open and talking about the opportunities and the possibilities, our union has been very supportive and moving forward doing that process together, and just really open, clear communication.
Very good. Thank you for that. But it affects a lot of organizations.
And I guess I would ask people, why is it affecting your organization? Because we are not taking someone else's position. They mm-hmm. they were new positions. So I think mm-hmm. that's the caveat, is that they're new positions.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have core funding and you've got a program, you have to think, well, what are all the needs? Mm-hmm. And I think it's become more and more evident that we do need peer workers because mm-hmm. of the nature of the work. And you need to have a diverse interdisciplinary team, and I think mm-hmm. peers are a big part of that. Yeah, there is some stigma being called a peer. So the accompaniment program, we changed the name to Community Access Program, or Community Access Workers, or Community Workers. So people prefer to be called a community worker.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly what's happening in, you know, health hospitals, there is a stigma that suddenly because you're a peer that you can't step up to the plate and do the job that needs to be done.
Language is a huge part of incorporating staff members.
It is, and title's important to people too, because folks want to move on to other positions mm-hmm. and what you put mm-hmm. on your resume. So if you have a peer worker versus community support worker, another employer may see those two positions with a different lens. So I think it's important for people to be able to be employable, build their, you know, resume, and not be treated by stigma by employers or mm-hmm. or colleagues in the field.
Or that a ceiling exists, right? That because they're a peer worker, they can only go so far, right? When why couldn't they go as far as they want to, right? Or are capable of going. So that stigma piece.
You mentioned you've got a lot of different peer workers throughout the organization. And my next question is sort of a little off, which is, what training are your peer employees receiving to be successful in their roles, is another question we get asked a lot.
workers, the eviction prevention workers, they receive fairly extensive training in terms of the eviction prevention side. So even around cleaning, around the WMIS training, I think we're looking into some training around hoarding issues as well. You know, we can make referrals to the hoarding network, but also about just increasing their and our organization's capacity of what we need to manage to help people. But there's a level of customer service training as well, because it really is a customer service that they're doing. We have peer workers doing the drop, who are employed in the drop-in, and they do the same training basically that most of the full-time staff do as well. They're part of meetings, even if it's on a day they might not work. So a lot of work around harm reduction or
conflict resolution.
I'm thinking about CPI training, first aid CPR training. So they're receiving all those.
And we have an upcoming ethics and boundaries training as well that we're doing in April with the staff team. And I think training needs to be ongoing, because we're always sharpening our skills, refreshing our knowledge, learning from each other. And really promoting lifelong learning with all the staff, whether people are in a peer role or not, because it's important to be able to equip people to do their best and be their best.
And I think, sorry to add to that, what's been interesting, I've just been here for a few months, is the staff wanting to have, so the full-time permanent staff wanting the peers to be involved in trainings, to be at particular staff meetings and that, because their voice is important, their perspective is important. We also want them to know that, you know, we see them as an equal, that, you know what, if we are dealing with certain particular situations in our drop-in or in a program, we want them to be just as aware, right? They're as much invested, they're as much responsible. And so it's really, I've always found it really interesting that the staff are wanting to ensure that peer workers are involved.
Right? And the peer accompaniment staff have also done cultural competency training as well. So
you're really investing in people.
Absolutely. Because they're, you know, doing a lot of investing in the organization as well and in their job. So I think it's a two-way relationship. And I think when I think of West Neighborhood House's mission of enabling people to gain greater control of their lives, I think hiring peers and investing in peers is part of that mission as well.
And how have you found working with other organizations in Toronto around peer opportunities and partnerships?
Well, we're doing one currently with St. Stephen's.
Pathways.
Yeah, the Peer Pathways program. And so we have two participants, one as a working in our drop-in and one working with our eviction prevention. And, you know, both roles are going excellently. Like, both individuals have really sort of engaged well with their colleagues in terms of connecting with community members as well. It's been a really great transition for both of them. And I say that not only from the perspective of West Neighborhood House, but even in conversations with both individuals, as well as they both have the same worker at St. Stephen's, Darcy, and he's been great in terms of communication with Lamborina and myself, connecting and having conversations about both individuals and ensuring they're both feeling heard and supported, and again that they're feeling like the transition and the role is going well. So from a perspective of St. Stephen's, it's been a really great opportunity. I'm not sure about other organizations. There was some previously with Sistering as well.
Right, with the store. Yeah, with Sistering as well, our storefront. We've had peers that have worked in the storefront and also created different artifacts and arts and crafts that have, and pottery and knitted wear, clothing that is sold in the store. So our partnership with Sistering went well. Park and Sistering have also partnered with us with our peer accompaniment program, and that's, you know, been a program now for 7 years that has been running really well, coordinated by a peer. And I think we've got we have 7 peers between Sistering, Park, and West Neighborhood House employed. So that's been a really good partnership.
That's wonderful. It's really nice to hear that the Toronto as a community comes together in regard to their values and peer work and finding opportunities for making space, you know, creating opportunities for people where they can, right? And, and joining together for that. So it's really wonderful to hear.
Yeah, and I think the partnership with Park and Sistering was that recognizing a need and understanding that the need of accessing supports and services and making sure that people who are often treated with stigma, people who are living with mental health and addictions, have the right supports to meet their needs, and who is the best person or persons to be able to provide that. But folks that approach that work with lived experience and come with a different lens, and treat people with the respect and dignity that they would want to receive. So I think very early days, when we recognized the need to really look at that, you know, peers were the best folks for the job.
I think from my perspective, it's been interesting to, you know, we talk about it in terms of members, but I see it happening as well with the peer staff is, you know, they're raising the bar for themselves, and so they're feeling supported and encouraged, and so it's just encouraging to see them. They come to work, they want to come to work, and they are a great example, and they encourage other community members, and they've seen them encouraged, and they've come and said, for instance, around eviction prevention, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so would actually maybe be really great people to try out to be on-call type. You know, so they are looking to encourage other people in their community to take on similar roles and to, again, to raise the bar for themselves. And it's just the choices they make, and it's just really encouraging to see.
Yeah, they've been real mentors for a lot of other peers. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're always learning from the peer staff. They're learning from each other. The staff team are learning from them as well. And just a real opportunity to see things differently and to learn from each other and, you know, to continue to really support one another in this work that's very tough. Mm-hmm. When people have a lot of challenges, but also, you know, to celebrate when things are working well and people have successes in their lives.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for coming on this podcast.
Thanks, Beth. It's a pleasure to continue to work in partnership with St. Stephen's.
Thanks. Thank you.
Huge thanks to West Neighborhood House and especially Lambrina and Patricia for joining us and sharing your experiences and thoughts on this important subject. We look forward to hopefully many more years of working on exciting projects together. And to you, our listeners, thanks again for joining us for episode 8 of Smash the Ceiling, and don't forget to tweet at us or connect with us on Instagram at PeerPathwaysTO.
St. Stephen's Community House would like to thank United Way, as well as the Ministry of Advanced Education and Skills Development and Employment Ontario, for their continued support with this project. We would also like to acknowledge Monk Turner for allowing us to use Judicious Jude for our music, as well as Satunium for the percussive loop.